This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
If you or a loved one is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction and are serious about getting help, call us now at 855-820-2797. You can get clean and sober in as little as 7 days. Your insurance company may cover 100% of all costs with little to no out-of-pocket expenses. Our trained addiction specialists are available 24/7 and all calls are free and confidential. Just call us at 855-820-2797. How much longer are you going to suffer with addiction? Let us find you the best treatment center that fits your unique needs. Call us now at 855-820-2797.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Leon Logothetis. He is a he's a man who is running a documentary called The Kindness The Kindness Diaries on Netflix. You can see it. And he's traveling the world on a mission of kindness. I'll let him explain it, but first I want to just find out who you are. What's your background? Where are you from?
Sure. So I used to be a broker in the city of London. On the outside, I had everything. And on the inside, I had nothing. Emotionally, spiritually bankrupt. And I happened across the movie The Motorcycle Diaries, which is a romanticized version of Che Guevara traveling around South America, giving back to people.
Okay, hang on just a second. When you say a romanticized version of Che Guevara, what do you mean by that?
It wasn't the real image of Che the murderer. Right. It was the nice version of Che giving back.
So I just wanted to make sure you knew who Che Guevara was.
Absolutely.
Yes, okay.
And there was something about that movie that inspired me because he was giving back in a profound way. And I decided that I was going to quit my job and start traveling the world relying on kindness.
So Che has done something good then, as we see. At least he inspired you, if nothing else.
Exactly. Yeah. In the movie. That's why I always preface it by saying the romanticized version.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting you say it because you walked in the studios and you said, I love your artwork of Winston Churchill. Mm. And we just had a quick conversation with Winston Churchill, who you adore perhaps even more than I do. And I think Winston Churchill is one of the greatest men to ever live. And so for you to say, Che Guevara changed my life is kind of like, interesting. Whoa, how does that fit?
Yeah. I mean, and some people say that to me. They're like, you know, Che wasn't a hero to many, obviously, but simply just the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you watched the movie?
I have not, just because I know who Che is.
Yeah. And I quit my job and I started to travel the world relying on kindness.
What does that mean?
It means that I had no money. I had no food. I had no place to stay. All I had was my vintage yellow motorbike called Kindness One, sort of like Air Force One, but a little bit yellower. And I would give back to unsuspecting Good Samaritans life-changing gifts based on being helped by them. And they had no idea what was going on. And it was really just relying on kindness.
So it's kind of like the New Testament, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about where you're going, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to eat. Just go and do good.
That was the aim.
Okay. And what do you mean, first of all, how are they kind to you? By giving you a place to sleep? By what?
Yeah, primarily it was human interaction, human connection. So if I felt connected to someone and they felt connected to me, they would maybe give me some gas. They would maybe put me up in their house. They would maybe give me some food. And then I'd go from them to the next person. For example, I met a homeless chap in Pittsburgh who, you know, had nothing really except one bag. Yet he offered for me to sleep on the streets with him. He offered to protect me. He offered to feed me. He offered to give me some clothes. And that was an act of kindness based on, you know, he didn't know what was going to happen. But I was fortunate enough to be able to put him up in a house and send him back to school. But really, it was that he taught me a really powerful lesson, that true wealth is not in our wallets, but it's in our hearts. Does that mean that money's not important? Of course not. Money is very important. But the truest of wealth comes from in here.
So how do you mean you were lucky enough to be able to send him back to school and put him up in a house?
Sure. So I've had many opportunities. You know, I worked in the city of London. I had financial security. So what I mean lucky enough is that I had the means to give back to him. I had the means to give him an opportunity.
So when you say you had no money, you didn't literally have
no
money.
You were just pretending.
Exactly. So I was doing a social experiment. Mm-hmm. In my everyday life, of course, I have money. But in that moment, for those 6 months, I had no money. Mm. And I was relying on,
now, did
on
you,
kindness.
Did you take your like a credit card with you just in case?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Really?
No,
you had no backup plan?
We were filming the Netflix show. So I had a crew. And the crew would stay.
And a catering truck.
A what?
And a catering truck.
Oh, man. Got some brain.
You were really homeless.
This is like the catering truck. Man versus Wild, is it?
Now, what's interesting is that the crew would film, and then they would leave. Mm-hmm. And there were. I have a book as well, and in the book, there's many moments that are not in the film because the crew weren't there. Mm. So, for example, that night with Tony, there was a moment where another homeless chap was having a little bit of a moment, let's say, but no one filmed that because no one was there except me and Tony and this other chap.
That's really interesting. So was there a moment where you were like looking at this and you're saying, you know, you have this crew there. Were the people suspicious of you?
Sure. Look, I think ultimately I would go up to people without the camera, because if you just go up to someone with a camera, they're like, you know, please get out of my face.
Yeah, right.
So I'd explain what I was doing. And then if they were willing to help, or if they were willing not to help, and they were willing to be on camera, I'd say, look, we have a camera crew. Are you okay to be filmed?
Oh, wow.
That's really how it would go.
Mm. So with this homeless guy,
you
bought him a house?
No, I put him up in a house.
Okay.
So he now lives in an apartment.
Really nice.
That's
wow.
And he's gone back to school, and how's he doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a Hollywood ending.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, homelessness isn't just it's not just physical, it's also
mental.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So he found himself in some trouble, but he's got back on his feet, he's back in a house, and I'm working to get him back into school. But it's not a Hollywood ending. I wish it was.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Those are very hard to find. We know, what's his name, Gardner?
Chris
Gardner from The Pursuit of Happiness.
Okay.
Know him quite well, and those endings are few
rare.
And far between.
Yes, they are. They are.
Yeah. It's interesting to look at that and say, so you go through this process, and obviously the stories are kind of about changing other people. But I'd imagine that, like, there is a huge change that happened in you going through this process.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, so who is really helping who?
I think we're both helping each other. You know, that's the reality. I mean, when I did the journey, when you get such kindness, when you meet people who open their hearts up in such a beautiful way, you can't help but be changed. And I was definitely changed. I was changed by Tony.
How?
Because he had nothing. Yet he had everything. And it was like the opposite of me. Because on the outside, I had everything. On the inside, I had nothing. And this chap, on the inside, had everything. And the outside had nothing.
What do you mean by everything?
He came from his heart. He showed kindness. He was open-hearted. And I think many of us live up here.
Yeah.
I know that I did. And he taught me how to live down here. It wasn't just like that. It wasn't just like I met Tony and it all changed. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of the catalyst. It was another moment like, whoa, there's a chap that has nothing on the outside. And we're taught that you have to have everything on the outside. Don't get me wrong. Living on the streets is not fun. This guy was doing it for years. There are many people who do it for their whole lives.
Right. You said it all when you said he would protect you.
Yes.
I mean, that's to me, that's, you know, I'm sorry, but I know you're British, but to say chap doesn't even, it dresses homelessness up too much for an American. Were you afraid when he, because that is a part of being homeless. It's extraordinarily dangerous. Mental illness is a real problem with homelessness. Some people are homeless for a reason. They are social misfits, and they like being social misfits. The drugs, it's a dangerous world.
That's a great question. And I was told specifically on that night not to stay in this specific park. Yeah, prior to meeting Tony, I was walking the streets and I said, look, don't stay in this park past sundown. Yet when I met him, he said to me, you can stay with me. Every part of my body was like, do not stay on the streets of Pittsburgh. But there was this one little small voice that said, you have to stay with this man. And I followed that voice, and it was correct. Because like I said, he did protect me. And my intuition just guided me to that moment.
You a religious man at all?
I wouldn't say religious. I would say spiritual? I'm a man of faith, spiritual, yes. Okay.
So is that new for you?
It was, yes. It's not anymore, but it was. I believe you can't have experiences like that with Tony and not change and not... Yeah.
Not feel that you're connected somehow.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Did you spend nights without a place to live, a place to stay, and days without food?
Yes, not days without food. I would always find someone to give me some food, but there were times when no...
Every day somebody gave you food?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. It's truly amazing.
Just sometimes you didn't have a shelter.
Exactly, and I would sleep in the sidecar.
There was a study that came out this week that said that while the wealthy do give, the proportion... is way out of whack. The poorer you are, the more likely you are to give big. You'll give half of what you have. Did you find a difference while you're on the street? What did you learn about giving?
Look, what I learned was that people who don't have a lot often have a sense of community that people who have a lot don't have. And when you have this sense of community, you just give. Like, I was in India, and I ended up sleeping in the slums with this rickshaw driver and his family. Mm. And although on the outside, I would never want to sleep in the slums, I would never want to live in the slums, there was a sense of community in that place that was just second to none.
People don't have any idea when you say slums what Indian slums are like. That is poverty.
Raw sewage on the streets.
Right. We all obviously have our own struggles. You know, for example, the voice recognition in my car almost never recognizes what I said. but I would imagine going through this is something where, like, those types of problems are put in a completely different perspective for you now.
When you went back, were you a little grossed out by your former lifestyle?
I was grossed out by the way that I was living on the outside. I was grossed out by the fact that I had no, in those days, sense of connection. I was grossed out by the fact that I didn't have a sense of community, that I wasn't coming from my heart, that I wasn't being kind, that I was focused on one thing and that was just making money. There's nothing wrong with making money. But when you just make money and you don't come from your heart and you don't give back, that grossed me out.
You having a hard time holding it?
What do you mean?
You having a hard time going back into the world and holding tight to what you had when you were on the streets?
It's a great question, and sometimes yes, but I made a commitment to myself. And I said to myself that I was going to commit to this way of life, imperfectly, because no one's perfect, but I was going to do everything in my power to come from a place of kindness. I was going to do everything in my power to see another human being, because for many years I wasn't seen.
What happened to you that... I mean, you just don't wake up one morning and go, you know what, I want to give it all up. What happened to you?
What happened to me was that on an emotional level, I was in deep pain. Many of us are in pain, yet we don't face it. And the pain was so great.
Do you mind explaining the pain? You don't have to.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, I was just very, very depressed and never felt seen in my home and also at school. I never felt like I was following my purpose. And it reached a point where it just broke. The dam broke. And leaving my job was the only thing I could do because the pain was just too much. And had the pain not been that much, I wouldn't have done it.
No.
I would have still been there.
It bothers me that we live in a society now that wants to take away pain and suffering, and I don't mean this like, you know, we got to help suffering people, but we don't want anybody to fail. We don't want our kids to fail. We want to swoop in. There's always a drug for something. There's always a bailout for something. Every lesson of real importance that I've ever learned came from the bottom of my soul. You know, a place I didn't want to be. That's where I found out who I was. That's when I actually grew. When I'm just kind of drifting along and everything is okay and I'm just kind of even numb, there's no growth there. I don't connect with anyone. I don't reach outside of myself.
It's interesting. You're a Winston Churchill fan.
Yeah.
And Winston Churchill has a very famous quote, as I'm sure you know, which is, when you find yourself walking through hell, keep walking. And it, you know, pain is not pleasant.
No.
But if you find your way through it, there's a lot of light comes your way.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to tell us about, you know, here in America and in Europe too? Things are getting bad. Things are, you know it, over in the UK. There's trouble coming our way. And I am convinced the biggest trouble that we face is from us, not from the governments or anybody trying to kill us, but from us. We don't have a sense of community anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't trust each other. We don't trust our institutions. And, you know, de Tocqueville came from France and studied America and said in the 1800s, what made America great is America was good. And we've let institutions and governments do things for us, and we're losing our kindness. When you saw the streets of all over the world, and then you saw the streets of America, is there a difference in America, or is it the same? Are we more callous? Are we kinder? Are we like everybody else?
I think ultimately one of the greatest lessons I learned was that everyone simply, wherever you are, doesn't matter what religion you are, doesn't matter what color you are, simply just wants to be seen. And by being seen, I mean being loved, being heard, having a sense of community. And in the Western world, we come too much from our heads. We come too much from our iPhones. We come too much from being connected, but not really being connected. And I would say just simplify things. I go and I speak at schools all the time, and I tell them, look, each and every one of you can change the world. And you can simply change the world by being kind to each other, by coming from your heart. It's such a simple thing. And being connected and just dropping down from the madness.
Leon Logothetis, he's got a new book out and Netflix documentary called The Kindness Diaries. It is a pleasure to meet you, sir. Thank you so much.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Are you as excited about your kids being online on the internet as I am? I feel like I'm always playing catch up with the latest apps and sites that my kids have access to. All the good and all the bad is always there, but I'm not always there. That's why I want to tell you about Hero Parental Control. Hero is a high-tech tool that helps you stay ahead of the game. Activity from all of your family's devices can be filtered, monitored, and even tracked via GPS from one easy dashboard that you have. You can adjust all your filters. Material that might be healthy for a teen can be harmful to a young child. It works on all of your devices, including your mobile. It's easy to set up, intuitive to use, and it stays up to date with ever-changing technology. It's going to make the internet in your house appropriate by your standards, not what society says. So enjoy the good and block the bad. Go to blazehero.com. That's blazehero.com.